This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Never settle. Unless it's into the electrifying BMW i4. Blend the lines of cutting-edge and classic with groundbreaking technology at your fingertips. And experience M-engineered precision while you twist around every turn. After all, electric doesn't have to be static. If you thought EVs couldn't live up to your expectations, then you've never experienced the ultimate electric driving machine. The 100% electric 2025 BMW i4.
Hurry into the BMW President's Day sales event and receive exceptional offers through March 2nd.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Now, from Wichita's most listened to sports radio, 97.5 and 1240 KFH, this is Sports Daily with Jacob Albrock and Tommy Gester.
And hey, good morning, everybody. It is cold, very cold, and we are with you trying to power through the wintertime. We're all ready for spring, right? We're ready for March Madness. We're ready for a little outdoor activity, but that's not today. It is chilly outside. It's Jacob Albrock and Tommy Caster, but that's okay. That's what we're here for. This is the great state of Kansas, by the way. Max Power in producing for us. 869-1240 is the number you can call to get in touch with the program. You can also leave us your video comments. Of course, if you're watching on 12 News Connected, we appreciate it. Facebook, YouTube, X, all the different places you can leave us comments. You can also leave us voice messages on the Odyssey app if you'd like, and we can get those out over the air as well. Tommy, glad to see you're feeling a little better today. Good morning. How are you?
Yeah, feeling good. Feeling, not 100%, but at least better than what I was yesterday. So when I'm sure a lot of people know, you know, when you're sick, like if you can just like sleep all day, typically that helps you. And that's what I did yesterday. After we got done with our show, I slept most of the day. So feeling better today. Glad to be here, ready to get into it.
Back up and at them last night for the Shockers. We'll get to the Shockers in just a second as they get a win over UTSA, as they should. It was tight, but they got it done. We will talk about that. We will talk about K-State and their resurgence with our K-State insider, Tim Fitzgerald. That's coming up a little bit later. I think we will have PJ Glasser in the second hour as well. If so, we'll talk about some futures bets already for next year, what we're looking at, maybe a little basketball. I had a basketball bet, Tommy, last night. That I got to tell you about at some point. I don't know if I already did. I got kind of lucky, honestly. I had a bonus bet that I had won for the Super Bowl that was expiring, and I didn't even know I had it, and it was kind of a big one. I guess it was one of those like jackpot first touchdown split the bonus bill, and I had one. I was like, oh no! And so I put it on like a three legger and hit it. It was awesome. So that was as much of the NBA as I paid attention to last night, honestly. If we're being honest here. But we'll get into some other things with PJ Glasser as well. And then Travis Kelce, he has his New Heights podcast. It drops yesterday, and we get some insight perhaps into his future, which was interesting, I will say. It kind of has us all second guessing whether or not he'll play next year. That's all coming for you today. We'll give away some HTO. We'll give away the opportunity to get on a cruise. We'll give away the opportunity to go watch March Madness in Vegas, all kinds of good stuff for you today. So stay tuned. Also, for your chances to win all those prizes. Tommy, let's start with the Shockers here. Winners last night over UTSA. Three-game win streak. It's first three-game win streak since Thanksgiving. It's first three-game win streak since they started the season 7-0. They had been 6-10 since the last time we saw them on a three-game win streak. So, first and foremost, That is great to see. They've been able to string three together. Now, you've got Memphis coming up at home, but one thing at a time, at least winning games they should be winning, as they get it done last night against UTSA 69-64.
Yeah, and you know, also it's their first three-game conference winning streak in 4 years, you know, which tells you a little bit about the way that, you know, that this program has been over the last half of a decade or so. It was a good win, you know, for them. Now, obviously, it wasn't pretty, especially early on in the game. They turned the ball over way too much. You know, ugly to watch that when, you know, I think there was a stretch where they had 5 out of 8 possessions that resulted in a turnover. You know, and so when that sort of thing happens, you know, not fun to watch necessarily, but they were able to, you know, also turn UTSA over as well. So it was that, you know, gritty type mentality, that mentality of, hey, we're going to just make things ugly. We're going to make it difficult on you. At the same time, they made it difficult on themselves too, by turning the ball over like they did. But it was enough in front of the home crowd to be able to get it done. I think that's important. I mean, it's obviously important when you can string together conference wins like that. And it's a UTSA team that beat you the last time you played them at their place. So you're able to avenge that loss. You're able to leapfrog them in the conference standings. And yeah, it sets up a big-time matchup this weekend at home at Memphis.
It's an interesting game relative to the Shockers, because they didn't play particularly well. They got it done. They turned the ball over. You mentioned it. An insane amount. Way too many turnovers. Way too many turnovers. But they overcame it. UTSA did a good job defensively against Xavier Bell, who's kind of been the straw that has stirred the drink offensively for Wichita State. And they were able to overcome it. They pushed them around as they should down low. And it wasn't even the same stratosphere as far as the rebounding battle. And yeah, they played enough defense. So those are the things we've talked about with the Shockers. Can they get ugly? Can they get nasty like that? And they did last night. Now, I will say this three-game win streak, in full disclosure, has come against the bottom half right now of the American Athletic Conference. The next 5 games Wichita State plays come inside the top half of the American Athletic Conference. We're going to find out real quick where Wichita State belongs in this thing. Are they a top half team? I think we all feel like they should have been, should be. They're going to have a chance to get out there and prove it, because their next 5 games come against teams that currently sit in the top half of the AAC. And then they close the season with a couple of the bottom teams again. So let's find out. Let's find out where Wichita State stands. Let's find out where they can, you know, ultimately end up in the standings, because it is kind of a jumbled mess down there, in the middle anyway. And they're going to have a chance to move up a little bit. We'll see if they can do it. They're going to have to play better than they did last night, but they were able to get the win. And that, I do think, for a team that has struggled to win games, just win games, that's important to see them be able to win one ugly like that.
Yeah, and I think that when you go to midway through the second half, when the Shockers are down by 8, you know, you're starting to think, man, like, this is not going to work for Wichita State. They're not going to be able to pull this out, find a way to get back into it. And then, you know, all of a sudden, they were able to get those defensive stops. They were able to make some timely shots as well. Xavier Bell, like you mentioned, shot the ball pretty well last night. And I think, you know, super crucial, Quincy Ballard, battling the flu, you know, was able to come in late in the game, and he was able to provide crucial minutes, even though, you know, he wasn't 100%. So I do think all of those things played in together for sure. And I mean, let's be honest, like, Corey Washington had a great offensive performance as well last night for the Shockers. So collectively, yeah, while it was ugly at times, while they turned the ball over way too much, like 20 turnovers in a 40-minute game, way too much. Even though they did that, they were able, when it counted, when it mattered the most, to get the stops and to make the shots that they needed to win.
Yeah, and Bell, big shots late, but struggled most of the game. Right. That was where Beverly and you know, Beverly and Washington, it was good to see those older players step up. Beverly is, you know, there was a time where I thought probably Beverly was going to be that dude. And he did step up and hit some big ones last night, including that late three. And look, Bell has been this revelation. He's by far been the bright spot of this season. We're obviously fond of him because he's local, and he's been great. They picked him up last night. Didn't have a good game. UTSA had a good plan against him, and his teammates picked him up and provided the offense that he wasn't able to for much of the game. And that was awesome to see. That's important stuff. Like, that's what has to happen.
I thought it was important too, that, you know, even though it wasn't a great shooting night for him, he didn't stop shooting. You know, like he was working his way through it, right?
Yeah,
and like you can't not do that. And there would probably be players out there that if they're having an off shooting night, they're going to be a little bit more hesitant to let it fly. But Wichita State absolutely has to have him working through that. And he did last night, and he was able to have those other guys help pick him up.
Got to do it. So good win, 3 in a row. It's been a while. That in and of itself, no matter what the circumstances are, feels good for the Shockers. Now they get to welcome Memphis in this weekend, and that's going to be a tough one. Ought to be probably the best environment for a basketball game we see at Koch Arena the rest of the way. A Sunday afternoon with no football interference against number 14 Memphis on national television. See if the Shockers can do something special. We'll have more on that game later in the week, but wanted to get to the Shockers win here off the top. When we come back, Travis Kelce, is he coming back? It's the big question now because he wasn't definitive yesterday in some of the things that he said. We'll have that for you next on Sports Daily.
KYW News Radio and Deborah Heart and Lung Center team up to discuss arrhythmia, diagnosis, treatment, and management. Here's Rasa Kay.
If your doctor tells you your physical has turned up an arrhythmia, a rhythm disorder in your heart, that might cause it to skip a beat right then and there. But cardiac electrophysiologist Dr. Rafael Corbiziero explains the biggest concern is, like a realtor says, location, location, location.
Arrhythmias are geographically specific. So it depends on where we are in the heart. In a normal heart, in a young, otherwise healthy patient, there are abnormal arrhythmias that can occur, most common of which is called supraventricular tachycardia. These are abnormal circuits based on the electrical anatomy. They are not life-threatening. They can be life-annoying, and they usually occur in the top or middle part of the heart.
Learn more at DeboraHealthReport.com.
New Jersey's only heart, lung, and vascular specialty hospital, Deborah Heart and Lung Center. When it's your heart, demand Deborah.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
What does it take to change the course of lung disease? It takes groundbreaking research in pursuit of new therapies. It takes the world's leading experts in complex pulmonary conditions focused on restoring patients' quality of life. It takes visionaries to improve treatment options for even the most advanced disease. To lead lung care forward across our region and the world, it takes Temple Health.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
All right, let's do this thing. Go!
Sports Daily is on KFH.
All right, welcome back in, everybody, to Sports Daily. How about your ultimate chance for a trip to your chance for an ultimate trip to Vegas in March? Winning is easy. Just download the free Odyssey app, log in, and listen to KFH Radio. Listen each day for a minimum of an hour for your daily entry. It includes travel and accommodations for four to Las Vegas, plus $20,000 spending cash. Get all the info with the national contest right there at KFHradio.com. Stay at the Circa Resort and Casino, Las Vegas' premium sports viewing destination, and visit the biggest March Hoops party at Stadium Swim. Welcome back in, everybody. It is Sports Daily. It is Jake Balbrock. It is Tommy Caster. Tommy, the big kind of news yesterday there, Travis Kelce goes on the New Heights podcast, Dean's brother, talking about the Super Bowl. If you haven't heard it, you can check it out. It's easy to find. I don't know now. Travis Kelce was not clear by any means about his return. I would still lean to him coming back based on some of the things that he said. But I will tell you, if you listen to it and you watch him talk, I don't know that he knows right now. I really don't. I think that, you know, the grind of it, like it did last year, is wearing on him. I think he probably struggles with not being the best statistical, if you want to call it that. Even though I don't think he cares about the stats. I don't know that he feels like he's like the best tight end in football anymore, even though I would contend he's still right up there. I don't know, Tommy. Like it gets hard, I think, after a time. And I think it's wearing on him. And I'm not so sure that it's a lock he's coming back next year now.
One of the things I hate is, you know, when you've got players that just get through like a grueling season. Like, think about it. You go all the way back to June, July with OTAs and then training camp and preseason. Like, you're talking about 8-9 months worth of grueling day in, day out football action. And then it continues on through the playoffs and then the Super Bowl. And then right after, when it's all done, you're trying to expect a 35-year-old guy to say whether or not he's coming back. I don't put much stock into one way or another, because I think once the dust settles, obviously we'll have a much better idea. He'll have a much better idea. Of course, it's his podcast, you know, so he's going to say, you know, what he wants to,
yeah,
and that's totally fine.
I don't have sympathy for the conversation.
Yeah,
he's the one having it on his own podcast.
But, like, I mean, let's just, like, let's take a beat. Like, let's take a beat. Let's take a minute. I will say, like, I was leading up to the Super Bowl, he was pretty definitive that he felt like he could still go and still play. And I thought, okay, good. We can shut down this conversation early. We don't have to have it. And then, yeah, you're right. He does crack the door open that he may not be returning, you know, as he's talking in the New Heights podcast. I think he'll still probably come back and play. But, you know, it sounded to me like a guy that is tired. I don't blame him. I'd be tired too. It's been a long season. He even talked about the fact that, you know, even though he hasn't been playing for 15 plus years in the league, his seasons have historically been longer than, you know, a lot of other people's, because he's playing additional games every year into January and February, which we don't really take that into account. But I do think that that's an important point.
I think we know a few things about Travis Kelce. A, he loves football. He loves his teammates. I think he loves that piece of it as much as he loves anything else about it. And so that would be the part that I think is hard to walk away from. I think the accolades for him are probably easy to walk away from. There's nothing else for him to prove. This was it, right? He's not going to have another chance to three-peat. This was the last thing, and they didn't get it. So last year, it was like, there's no way he doesn't come back to go for that with his guys. They didn't get it. So now what? That's not there anymore. It's not going to be an accolade thing. He's already got them all, right? Like, he could walk away today and we'd consider him one of, if not the best tight ends ever. Like, that's, he's a Hall of Famer, all those things. Nothing's going to change with any of that. It's, do you want to, and the other part we know based on, you know, stories for a long time and hearing from former teammates that is the, it's sort of like Tom Brady, right? That was hard. That part was hard for Brady to walk away from. I think the love of football, the love of teammate, the love of a locker room, all of that stuff. He's having a conversation with his brother who went through literally the same thing with Philadelphia. Very, you know, toward the end as they became very famous, very publicly. Like, that was hard for him to watch. Travis Kelce's wired the same way. Like, it's hard to imagine, I'm sure, not doing this thing that you've loved your entire life, but you're sitting there beat up. You're sitting there questioning, I guess, whether you were able to give it all to your teammates and whether you helped them enough. I don't know. But it's a tough decision. Should he make it on February 13th?
No.
But he should probably make it by March 1st because they got to come up with a plan afterward. Like, that's the business. And again, like, you're talking about it on your podcast. Like, you've made this a part of everything now.
But don't you think that I don't know. I have a hard time believing that he doesn't know. I have a hard time believing that Andy Reid doesn't know. I think they're probably keeping it close to the vest.
No, I think for sure they don't know. Because
I don't know about that. Because, I mean,
I think he may have a lean. I think he may have an idea of what he wants to do, but that doesn't mean, like, you got to have a lot of conversations. Is everybody comfortable with his contract? Is everybody comfortable with
He's got a great contract. Like, I mean, he's restructured that contract where it's pretty.
Right. He's taking a discount.
Yeah,
forever,
it's pretty team friendly. So I think everybody's going to be comfortable with that contract.
But it's a business, and those conversations have to happen, just like they do for every player.
I think that everybody knows because Travis Kelce is such a good teammate and such a good leader. He's not leaving, not going to leave the team in the lurch, right? And so if we felt like, and here's the thing, like I remember thinking when they were going heavy on tight end in the draft, remember in free agency, like they went and picked up Irv Smith Jr., they drafted Jared Wiley, they have Noah Gray. I'm like, okay, like they might be putting together a future plan post-Travis Kelce. That really wasn't the case. I mean, Noah Gray could probably step in and be, you know, a halfway decent starting tight end in the league. But it didn't seem like to me that this succession plan was really coming to fruition for Kansas City. I don't think he's going to leave the team in the lurch. I think that they already know, he already knows and they already know what he's going to be doing, because I don't think that he's going to like let them just like twist in the wind, not knowing what he's going to do.
It's interesting that you've soured on Gray, because at a point this season, I think we're ready to crown him as the
replacement. I didn't sour on Gray. I said I think he could be a decent starting tight end in the league.
I think he is. But I don't think any of that matters for Kelce, because I think Kelce adds, no matter what you have, is so, like, if Gray is good, and I agree, I think Gray is good. And there aren't a lot of great ones in football. Kelsey's still one of those, right? He's still one of those great ones. Can he be comfortable to continue to play a diminished role out of necessity, honestly, for himself? I think so, because I think we saw that to some degree this year. I think they really did take it easy and then turn him loose late. Some of that by design, some of that by necessity, probably. But I agree. I think Andy Reid is willing to do that, to have him there. Like, and that's what's so crazy about Kelce is people act like because he's not the best tight end in football, he's washed and how often did we hear that this year? I'm like, that's insane. Could you imagine saying that about players at other positions, right? Because they're not still the absolute best at their position. They don't have any value anymore. Could you imagine saying that about Jerry Rice? Look at how many great years he put in at the end of his career. Was he the best receiver in football late? No, but he was still awesome. Like, could you imagine, Tom Brady's a bad example. Could you imagine saying that about Matt Stafford? Is Matt Stafford still the alpha? No. Won a Super Bowl.
I think it's somebody, right? Like Drew Brees. Like, you know, would you, anybody ever want to say that about Drew Brees? Example. You know, yeah. Like he was, not the best quarterback in the league for the, you know, last several years of his career, but he was still super effective.
How about Peyton Manning, who won a Super Bowl despite his deficiencies? Yeah. That was a bad year for Manning, and he won a Super Bowl. So, like, I don't want to get into that. That's sort of been the national narrative for a lot of the season, and that's not it at all. Like, it's not that. That's silly. The Chiefs would love to have him back because of solely and only his ability as a football player. And then you add what he means to the team and the locker room and all that stuff. That's, of course, the reason they would love to have him back. But if it was none of that, and he was just I can guarantee you right now, if Travis Kelce was like, you know what, I'm going to be a free agent, there'd be 32 teams that would love to have him just based on what he can do on the football field. That is a fact, because he's still really good. Is he what he was 5 years ago? No. Are any of us, right, once we hit a certain age? So I don't think it's any of that. Now, he's got to have an internal, you know, conversation about that. Like, is he okay not being that dude? That's one thing I think.
I think he is, because I think he would have walked away before. Like, even, I mean, remember last year, he was, you know, not, he was great, but he wasn't up to his standards that he had set for himself. Like, there were the drops, there were the issues that kind of came up that we were not, you know, really used to seeing from him. I think had he not been okay with the way that the trajectory of his career was going, he probably would have walked away after last year. So I think he's okay with that. I think he's okay with not being the best ever to do it, like, at this point in his career.
I think he was too. It's more of, is he still? And when you hear him talk about how he let his teammates down and he could have been better, and like, that stuff's going to weigh on a guy like Kelce. And so are you willing to get in there and do that again?
Yeah,
and,
but it's so, you know, so raw and fresh from a beatdown in the Super Bowl. Like, again, yeah, like, I get, like, you're talking about your emotions, and that's, you know, what podcasting can do. Like, you and your brother can be honest and, like, all of that. But, man, like, let's everybody collectively, let's just take a beat. Like, take a breath. Let it settle. Let the dust settle a little bit. Now, I think that, you know, everything's going to work out. I think he'll be back. At this point now, I think he will be back. I think he knows he will be back, and I think the team knows he will be back.
I still lean that he'll be back. And again, like, he has made this a conversation today, so I don't have any problem with that. Well, at the same time, I don't have some expectation that he needs to make a decision tomorrow, but he has brought this back into the conversation of his own merit. So I absolutely think it's worth talking about, for sure. Now, probably now more than it ever has been, because he's the one who's put it in the headlines today. It's just interesting to me, because I was pretty certain he'd come back. Now I think he has entered doubt into the equation, and I'd still lean that he's coming back. But I'm to the point, I guess, where it wouldn't surprise me at all if he doesn't.
What's the motivation for him to return and play next season?
Because he loves football and he loves his teammates.
Well, I think it even goes beyond that. I think it's, he has an intense desire to win. And I think that that's a huge part of it. It's that competitive desire to win. That's why Tom Brady played for as long as he did, not because he loved football and he loved his teammates. Like, yeah, that was a part of it, but he had an intense desire to win. And as soon as you walk away from the game, you don't get that outlet anymore to have that winning be a part of your life. That's a huge reason why now Tom Brady is a part owner of the Raiders. Like, it keeps him connected in a, like, even more than being a broadcaster, it connects him to a team to win, because he has a competitive desire to win games. I don't think it's about individual accolades for Travis Kelce. He's already got all of them. I don't think it's even about Super Bowl titles. I mean, I think it is. Like, that's the, you know, end goal for everybody.
Right.
But, like, the whole three-peat thing, okay, they didn't get it. But I don't think that that's, like, the end-all be-all for him. It's more about every time he steps foot on that field, he wants to win. He wants to win. He has a competitive desire to win. As soon as you walk away from the game, you don't get that outlet anymore. I think that that's what's going to drive him.
Yeah, Rick really wants us to talk about the contract here. So let's talk about the contract. Asks, is it better to have him back, or fixing offensive tackle could be a factor? Certainly could be in free agency. Right now, Travis Kelce is the highest paid tight end in football next year. He will make more on an average year unless somebody redoes their deal, which I don't think will happen. He will be next year's highest paid tight end. He's a free agent right after 2026. So that's kind of it, right? It does feel like next year would be a swan song if he comes back. Does he need to restructure that? Absolutely not. He's given the Chiefs a tremendous discount, essentially his entire career. Would he? Probably. I mean, if there's a way to spread that out a little bit, he gets his guaranteed money. Like I would bet you if collectively, just to answer Rick's question, Brett Veach approaches the leadership of this team, a la Chris Jones, Patrick Mahomes, Travis Kelce, we'll kind of keep it there. And they said, look, we can go get Ronnie Stanley. I have a way to make it work. I need all three of you to restructure your deals to make it work. I would bet that all three would be willing to do that. So I don't think it's going to matter ultimately. Yes, he has a big salary. Yes, he's still the highest paid tight end in football. What tight end in football, though, would you say, I would rather have X than Travis Kelce next year? Just next year. And that's where I think the national narrative is so tired. There is not a tight end in football right now for next year that you could say with absolute conviction you would take over Travis Kelce.
I love Travis Kelce. Don't get me wrong, but
give me the example.
Did you watch Sam Laporta this year for the Lions? I mean, yeah, he's a great tight end. I know Hockenson came back from an injury, so we didn't see him for a full season. I mean, Kittle is still at the top of his game.
Kittle's old too.
Kittle's not as old as Kelce is.
No, but he's 32. He's old for a tight end. By the way, Travis Kelce, more receiving yards this year than Sam Laporta. More catches by a long shot, about 30%
I just said, like, I love Travis Kelce, but I think it's a little bit disingenuous to say there's not a single tight end.
What is disingenuous about it? I'm asking you for one good example.
I gave you a good example. But
you think Sam Laporta is a good example? Travis Kelce was better than Laporta last year.
He had more catches than Sam Laporta did. Okay, he had more catches and yards, but the way that, like, how dynamic was a guy like Sam Laporta a year ago compared to Travis Kelce?
Sam Laporta was dynamic 2 years ago. Sam Laporta was disappointing last year.
Okay, how dynamic was Sam Laporta 2 years ago? If you want to go back
dynamic years, yeah, right. Dynamic 2 years ago. So was Travis Kelce.
Okay, great. I'm not saying that I don't want Travis Kelce. I think that absolutely Travis Kelce is still of value, not only to the Chiefs, but like you mentioned, I agree with you. If he were to go and hit free agency and there would be a bunch of teams lined up to take him, like, I absolutely agree with you about that. But let's not pretend that he is head and shoulders above everybody else in the league. At this point in his career, he's not.
I'm not pretending he's head and shoulders above.
You just said there's not a single tight end for next year that you would rather have on your team than Travis Kelce.
Definitively for 1 year, there's not. I mean, I suppose you could say Brock Bowers or Trey McBride. I'd give you those.
Yeah, Brock Bowers is phenomenal.
I'd give you those two. The rookies and the second-year player that are incredible, I'll give you those two. But my point is, like, his replacement value is zero. Like,
did you watch the way that Dallas Goedert played in Philadelphia this year? Especially in the playoffs?
Yeah, he was good in the playoffs. He was not good in the regular season.
Yeah, but he was great
in
the playoffs.
All the time.
He led them to a Super Bowl.
Helped them to a Super Bowl.
He helped them to a Super Bowl.
I don't know who had
helped
more
them
receiving
to a Super
yards
Bowl this year.
Who had more receiving yards in the postseason overall, Kelce or Goddard? I don't know.
I don't know.
Goddard played an extra game, but my point is, like, to pretend that Travis Kelce isn't a weapon for them.
He absolutely is
year,
a weapon for them.
Listen, now I'm not saying you're saying this, but a lot of people are. And Rick's saying he's getting paid too much money. And my point is, he is not getting paid too much money. He's getting paid just right as the top tight end in football because he still has an argument to be called that. There are two very young tight ends who have emerged the last couple of years that you could, with conviction, say right now would be better. And that's it. That's it. I'm not going to give you Dallas Goedert. You're telling me I have to pick Goedert or Kelce next year for 1 year? I'm taking Kelce all day. All day. We'll find out if Travis Kelce is going to be a wallflower to the NFL next year. It's in the headlines today, not because it's manufactured, because Travis Kelce himself certainly put some question into it yesterday on his own podcast with his brother. Being honest, no problem with it. He's just being honest. He's got some things to think about. And I agree. It got us talking about Travis Kelce and his value still to the NFL. None of this is aimed at you, Tommy, at all. So don't take it that way. But I think people would be surprised if they really dug into this very down year for Travis Kelce as it's been perceived. And I'll even admit that it was a down year. But where it still places him in the current state of the NFL is very, very high. There are a couple of two really good young ones that in a single season basis, I think you could with definity say, yeah, they're right now. They are better. Sam LaPorta, who you brought up, might be, but he certainly had a down year last year in his second season. Dallas Goedert's never played a full season in his career. I think one time in his rookie year, they essentially, and this is why it's interesting you bring his name up. Dallas Goedert and Travis Kelce essentially had the same postseason. Goddard had one more game, but Kelce had more yards per catch. They each had a touchdown. They each had one long catch to sort of inflate it a little bit, but they essentially had the exact same postseason. But Kelce is perceived. And look, it's because he's been so great. I get it. It's because he's been so great that he's basically just compared to himself. My point is, if he doesn't come back next year, that is a massive hole in the Chiefs offense that they now have to fix. Massive. That's a big deal for the Chiefs. It's not like you can just let him go and everything's going to be okay. Consider that we have never seen Patrick Mahomes play without Travis Kelce. Kelce's always playing. He's always healthy. He's always been there. And he's always been the top option for Mahomes. And their cohesion is a big part of what makes Mahomes so great. So his hole to answer some of the questions of, well, he's getting paid too much or, you know, does he help? Absolutely not. Like, this team will not be better because he's gone. It will be worse. And to what degree, I think, becomes the question, because he's always been there. If they don't have him, that's a big deal. Them.
It absolutely is a big deal. I think, and I mentioned it last segment, I think he's coming back. I think he'll be back for one more season. I think that the Chiefs will start to put together a succession plan on what they want to do moving forward. Noah Gray's probably a part of that. I don't know beyond that what that looks like. I think my point about Travis Kelce is that, is he still somebody that I would pick over any other tight end in the league? Yeah, probably for next season I probably would, but it's not like it's him at the very top, and then there's a huge gap, and then there's everybody else, the way that it used to be. He's right. Still at the top, but then everybody else is nipping at his heels. Like, they're right there, too. Like, even the younger guys, like you mentioned, Brock Bowers, Trey McBride, others. Like, and I know that, like, even a guy like Mark Andrews is getting a ton of criticism for what happened in the playoff game with the Ravens. He's been really rock solid and consistent over the course of his time in the league. Like, there are a lot of other tight ends that are now ascending, or that, you know, they're at their peak, and Kelce's coming down a little bit with his age. I would still put Kelce at the top, but it's not like there's this massive gap between him and everybody else like there used to be.
There's absolutely not. My point is, it's not a tight end rich time in the NFL. Now those two young ones, Bowers and McBride, and maybe even LaPorta, I think all those guys have a chance to be like Hall of Fame good. But, you know, like by the time their careers are over. But when we talk about Kelce, we're only talking about next year. Like, it very much to me feels like it's a next year or bust situation for Kelce. When you talk about that, like Kittle is probably more effective, but Kittle's always hurt. You know, Kelce's never hurt. That matters. And so just individually next year, there is no path to being more successful at that position for the Chiefs than Travis Kelce. There's probably not a path at this point that you want to even consider if you're the Chiefs, that you could imagine a better offense without him, because if he's gone, you're going to have to replace him with something. Now, is it at tight end? Probably not, because he's pretty irreplaceable there, but it's something somewhere that you have to adjust to. So I'm sure the Chiefs are sitting there right now thinking, God, I hope he comes back. Hope he comes back. We'd love to have him. It's this national narrative that annoys me. Oh, he's dating Taylor Swift. He doesn't care. He's old. He's tired. Like, he doesn't have it. Like, guys, like, get over it. Like, he's 36 And he's still that dude. Is he the, you know, is he what he was 3 years ago? No, of course he's not. He's 36 years old. But Tom Brady at 45 wasn't what he was at 38 either. Peyton Manning wasn't this, but that doesn't mean that they're not insanely valuable to this league and to their teams. And he absolutely is. And it will be a massive problem for the Chiefs this offseason if he's gone. I'm with you. I do still think he'll be back. But I do think the things that he said yesterday give me more doubt than I had 2 weeks ago. The fact that they lost the Super Bowl give me more doubt. I would be far more confident if it was, yeah, they won three straight. Now what if they win four straight? Like, you know, that carrot is gone. That part's out of the picture now.
I don't think that that's a major factor for him one way or the other. Like, now that it's done,
I don't.
Like, I genuinely don't. I think that for a guy like Travis Kelce, who has done it at the highest level forever, I don't think that it matters whether it's a week one game in September or a chance to go for four Super Bowls. It's the competitive win. I mentioned that in the last segment, the competitive drive to win. That's going to motivate him regardless. I don't think it's about accolades or making history or like to honestly, I just think it's like, okay, the next opportunity to be out on the field to win, that's what's going to drive him. I think that there's far, like you just mentioned the national narrative. I think that national narrative of a three-peat was so much louder externally than it was internally inside the Chiefs building. I think it was a factor? Sure, I think it was a factor, but I don't think it was as major of a factor as what everybody else was putting into it.
So I don't agree with that. I think that chance at history last offseason, when there this question has existed for a while, and that's just because Travis Kelce's older and he's in the spotlight all the time. I do think that was a motivating factor to be like, I got to go be a part of that. Now that that's gone, I don't know if it's like, do I want to walk away with that sour taste in my mouth? Do I want to go get revenge or it, because it's, I don't know. But I think it's a factor. I think winning.
Yeah, but I don't think it's like, hey, they lose, they don't get the three-peat. And then he says, yeah, you know what? I've got nothing to play for anymore. Like, I don't think that's the case.
No. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying that motivation is different now. Is it enough motivation for, and I do not know. I've never had a personal conversation with Travis Kelce. So I don't know. But I do think it like now maybe like going out on a loss like that, are you okay with that? I don't know. That would probably be motivating to all, but the thing is like he's reached this point now where it's not like it's this gray area of should he, like he's 36. Like, he could walk away at any point, and it would be like, yep, I get it. Because it's not the same as a quarterback playing to that age. Playing at basically an offensive tackle that can catch is not the same thing as playing quarterback. Like, the toll it takes on him is, that's why they're not, you know, that's why they don't play until a certain age. Because it's hard. Like, it is physically demanding, and I think that's the part over the last 2 years that's caught up with him more than anything else, based on the things that he said publicly. That's the part that's caught up with him as much as anything. I don't think it's because he's dating Taylor Swift. I don't think it's because he's hosting a game show and being invited on Saturday Night Live and all that stuff. I don't think it has anything to do with that. The dude can fly on a private jet anywhere he goes. Like, that part's easy. It's physically, like, can I physically and mentally go through this grind again? I think that's some of what you heard yesterday on his podcast. Like, that's the part that's really difficult to imagine. I mean, he's not that young. He's essentially the same age as we are. And I imagine going through what he goes through on a physical toll. And I mean, I can't even imagine it. I can't. It's crazy. You can go listen to it. You can chime in, too, on all the different ways you can get in touch with the show. Hour number two of Sports Daily coming right up.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
If you love your phone, but not your carrier, just switch to T-Mobile. You can keep your phone, keep your number, and we'll help pay it off up to $800 per line. You can also use our savings calculator to compare our plans and streaming benefits against Verizon and AT&T. So, switch and keep your phone, keep your number, and keep more of your moolah at T-Mobile.com.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, port-in, 90-plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Kickstart your new year with a rewarding career at the HK Group. HK is the leader in heavy construction and contractor site materials with over 80 locations across Pennsylvania, New Jersey, and Delaware. HK offers a wide range of opportunities, including heavy equipment operators, CDL drivers, mechanics, site supervisors, engineers, and project managers. 100% paid benefits designed to promote healthy living, financial stability, and career growth. The HK Group does not discriminate. Apply today at hkgroup.com. It's your future opportunity.
Do you know about the true crimes that inspired a Bruce Springsteen album? Or the murders AC/DC was blamed for? How about Taylor Swift's violent stalkers? Or the suspicious deaths of Brittany Murphy and River Phoenix? These stories and more are told in the Disgraceland podcast, hosted by me, Jake Brennan, every Tuesday, where I dive deep into subjects from the dark side of music history and entertainment. So follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.